The topic, which we have probably not, maybe, I don't think anybody's, you've definitely listened to the topic, but I wanted to change the topic a bit of the inyan of Kol Isha and Zimriah and Shiriah and all those different competitions that they have. And I think the sheer topic is going to be actually the Mesorah of Kol Isha, because I had the schus in preparing the shir this week. And you know, you guys don't realize what you're able to do for me, because you give me—I don't have much to do in the week because I'm away from my family and I'm staying at weird people's houses. Hope they don't listen to this shir. And so I get to prepare shir. So I had this chus after davening one day. I was in Rabbi Neuberger's shul, and I said, "I'm sorry to bother you, Rebbe, but I said I'm giving a shir." And he goes, "Really? Let's sit down and schmooze about it." A half hour with Rabbi Neuberger is worth so much. To me, my wife actually, for my 40th birthday, she asked me, it was a long time ago, she asked me, oh no, it was my 40th or my 30th, I don't remember. Yeah, I think it can't be my 40th, sorry, my 30th birthday, so long time ago. She asked me, what did I want? And she's like, she joked with Rabbi Soloski, she wanted a dinner out with Rabbi Soloski and Rabbi Neuberger, just so I could schmooze with them for an hour. Like, she knew that would be the greatest birthday present. I'm a weird guy. So I wanted you guys to understand what is the heder, right? I don't know if any of you went to this. If I talked to the Kol about it, they're like, what's Zimriah? They don't even know. They're like, oh, Zimriah from the Parsha, Zimri and Kozbi. I said, maybe that is where the, in Ruach HaKodesh, the word came from, right? In our Parsha, right? And even the last week's Parsha, right? What did he do? Zimri and Kozbi were Avodah Zarah next. Okay, fine. So we're going to really now, in a different way than I've done before, we're going to get to the nitty-gritty of what is the possible heter to allow for, I don't know what to call this, I'm just going to call it a singing competition between boys' campus and girls' campus, right? It should be in two separate locations, right? Why am I allowed to hear the girls sing? What's the heter of that? So the very, very short background that I'll give is the Gemara in three different places, but the most central Gemara, the central Gemara, is the Gemara in Brachos. I want to dedicate the shir on this topic to my grandfather Yaakov Kopel by Menachem Mendel HaKohen, as well as a wonderful Rebbetzin Bela Gold, who is Nifteres. Mamish, we're in the Shiva for her, the great Rabbi Gold. Mamish, when you talk about the word Ezer Kenegdo, from what I understand, it was a great definition of an Ezer Kenegdo. She was one of the few people that at the height of everything that was great in their lives moved from America to Eretz Yisrael, started a very vibrant shul in Har Nof, probably was one of the founders of the Har Nof community. I could speak to at least a few of the children that I know, certainly gave Nachas Ruach, talk about Ruach Hashem, gave Nachas Ruach to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to the way that they act and what they do. So we should recognize that even when a saintly woman leaves the world, so it does certainly leave a void. So the Gemara says in Barachos on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, Amar Shmuel, Kol Beisha Erva. Shir's over, go to sleep. Kol Beisha Erva. A woman's voice is an Erva. Shenamar Techi Kolech Arev Umarech Naveh. Right, it's a beautiful voice. Amar, something central about it. And then we know the other Gemaras as well. These Gemaras should be publicized instead of those signs that you have going in the thing. Maybe they should quote this Gemara. Amar Rav Sheshes, Sar B'Isha Erva, Shok B'Isha Erva. Yeah, chulu v'chulu. Good. Rashi says, what does it mean, Kolech Arev? Her voice is pleasant. Shema Mina, Taivahi. It's a Taiva. The rabbis in their infinite wisdom picked certain parts of a woman's body, or in this case, her voice, that's considered to be a sexual stimulus. And the Rishonim agree with this. Whether it's the Rid, the Ri, Rabbeinu, Yerucham, the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, the Smag, all agree, the Sma, all agree that this is a sexual stimulus. Just for sake of quoting, the Gemara in Sota Memches tells a very strange story. Amar Rav Yosef, Zimri Gavrei V'Anei Nashi. If you have a situation where men sing and women answer, that's called pritzta. It's called pritzos. But Zemer Nashi, V'anigavre, women are singing. I always think about the Hallel. Malacha Hayom. And all the men start to answer. That's worse. Ke'esh Kenurayach. It's like the burning of fire and chips. Malah Nachkamina. The second one's even worse. For women to sing and men to answer. Then you have the Gemara in Kedushin, Andaf Ayin, Amen Aleph, Amen Beis, about Yalta, about giving regards to the wife of Yalta. So we see here that maybe even non-kol, there are certain things that just are not done. So as we said, the rabbis and the infinite wisdom recognize that there are certain things, whether or not we think about it or not, or the typical answer I get when we spoke about like a yichud, so you always have a student that will raise his hand and he says, but Rebbe, there's no yichud between me and, let's say, my cleaning lady. I said, why not? Because she's really ugly. Right? That's a typical answer that you get. So it's a nice answer, nonetheless, but that's not a good enough answer. We have to follow what the rabbi said. So here's the interesting thing. The Meiri, the Ravid as well, I call them the lone shita here, say, well, what is this Gemara speaking about? The Gemara clearly in Brachos is speaking about what? Kriya Shema. The kol shel zemer b'isha erva l'inyan kriya shem bilvad. The meshe ein ragil ba, aval penuya, the idea of people that we understand and we recognize their voices, which is actually just this shita, is noted and important when it comes to the actual kol of a person. For example, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and many others say that a woman's voice in general is not asa, right? There are poskim who disagree with this, right? Some of the more charedi poskim say that, for example, the Shevet Halevi, Harav Vosner, says that a woman speaking in public, something like poetry or something like that, that's also called kol isha. So Rav Moshe says, what are you talking about? Rav Moshe Feinstein says it's only the singing voice, right? A woman gets up to speak, you say, oh, we're leaving. I can't hear her speak. We don't think that that's considered to be usher, because we're used to women's speaking voices. It is true that this base of Bechir, as I said, is a lone shita, is taken by some. Rabbi Berman, who used to be the rabbi of Camp Morashah, he came out with the heter that I think I was told was used until today, and that's the heter of just using the microphone. Because he starts off by saying, anyway, maybe the base of Bechir is right, and it's only by Kriya Shema. And we'll get to this a little bit later. Maybe a microphone is not considered to be the real voice of a woman. And therefore, he thinks that there's a heter over here. But his mainstay is that he quotes this idea about Kriya Shema. It's interesting, the Sheilas V'Tshuvos B'nei Banim, Rav Henkin, modern-day posek, who is very much lenient when it comes to women's views, says he doesn't understand the view of Rabbi Berman. Because he says that nobody holds it. You can't take a lone sheet and start to use it. It's interesting because there's a Rav, I quoted last year, of Mali Gibor, Rav Bigman. So he says that you can rely on your lone sheet. We hold from the Marashal, who says this exact thing, that sometimes with Shas Hashach, you can rely on a lone sheet. That is actually a true Marashal. It's true. But that's only when you need to for some reason. So I don't know, as an example, give you an idea. I don't know, just came into my mind. I guess there's a reason for it. So we allow women to go to the mikveh during the day, which is generally asur, if there was some emergency situation, right? Let's say, for example, I'm just making up this example. Let's say here in camp, so we happen to have a lake that's outside of the Eruv. It's done purposely, I believe, for Eruv reasons, and also we don't want kids going there, and maybe at least if they see the Eruv, I'm wrong, right? If they see the Eruv there, they're like, oh, now we can't jump into the lake. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. But so women can't go to the lake technically, and besides that, it would be somewhat dangerous without lights and all these different things. But Thursday night, she was able to go to the mikveh. The tahara, she could have gone to the mikveh. So what happened? I don't know. She got out to camp too late. Whatever it is, I'm making up some story. Whatever it is. So now she's really can go to the mikveh. You say just go Friday night. She can't go Friday night. She can't physically go. It's outside the area. So. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I apologize if this is not correct. I think Ravad Yosef, others say this, Ravad Yosef allows Ben Ashmash, which I know for sure. But there are, as a lone sheet, of course you go to line up, Peshat Tzachak. So to go ahead and tell me that coalition generals of Peshat Tzachak situation because women need to sing in front of men, it's hard to believe. Furthermore, and I'm quoting the Shita Dafka to say, we don't use the Shita to go ahead and say, and that's why a competition camp would be mutter because of the Peshat Tzachak situation. Nah. I don't think that's good enough. So then I thought that maybe the, and this is what I said to Rabbi Neuberger, the reason why we're going to have a heter here is going to be based on the famous tshuva. If you ever heard of Shir and Kol Isha, and they don't quote the tshuva, the Sri Deish, there's something wrong, right? It must have been a really quick shir. The Sri Deish has this long, long tshuva. This is the Sri Deish Nechelek Al Siman Ayin Zayin. So I have a few things to say about the Sri Deish. Number one, Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg was one of the great Gedolim, 1884 to 1966. He was the head who became the Rosh Yeshiva, the Hildesheim Yeshiva. He was not by nature German, so he saw a lot of surprising things, which he writes a lot about. And he was known to be a great defender of a lot of the New World Menhagim, and an understanding what was going on in Germany and in general in the world, where reformism was coming in and becoming unbelievably famous. He was known to be in many different areas. It's very, very interesting ways where he would fight against, even if it wasn't his own kehila. One of the things that came up was this tshuva of his. I just wanted to point out, there's a Rav in Yerushalayim by the name of Rav Lifshitz. So when I called, I don't want to go into the whole all the details because I've gotten in trouble when I said this before, but one of the details of this article of Rav Bigman is that he quotes my Rebbe, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, saying that he allowed Kol Isha in certain situations when it was back to your B'shas HaTzchak situation. So I called Rav Aaron's son, Rav Moshe, and he said that's not true. He gave a specific situation where he said that because he didn't know about it before, and it was Yom HaTzmud, and he wanted to be at the performance, so he allowed the girls to sing, but with a mechitza in front of them. They couldn't see the woman. That was not the situation that Rav Bigman spoke about. But in any case, the reason why I bring it up is that I had this conversation with Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and he said to me, oh, this Rav Lifshitz was a Talmud of Rav the Sri Deish of Weinberg, and he said that he used to say in Shir all the time that he really did not appreciate that he published this tshuva, because it was very well, the tshuvas were some, at least the newer edition was published after his life, I know that, but he said that it became so famous, this responsa, that's not the way he wanted to be defined as, and it was totally taken out of proportion. And this is what Rabbi Neuberger said to me. Everything we're about to learn in the next few minutes, he said he doesn't think applies to Zimriya, Shiriya, whatever you want to call it, which is very interesting. So let me just give you the background of the tshuva. The background of the tshuva is very, very interesting. There was a youth group in France called Yeshurun. I'm going to call it similar to like Bnei Akiva, NCSY, whatever your floats your boat. And in Kiruv, they recognized something very fundamental, which I think is the standing principles of Bnei Akiva and NCSY. If you want to be Makairo kids, you need to bring something very important, and that's called the opposite sex, right? Once a guy's like, why would I join this? Like, oh, there's going to be girls there. Oh, okay, what's called Judaism? Sure, yeah, no problem. Give me some of that chillin'. I don't care. So Yeshurun in France, there was reformism was coming into its form, whether it was actual Reform Judaism or actual reformism of people becoming off the derech and not even being religious anymore and wanting to, God forbid, lo aleinu, convert. They needed to do something about it. But to bring these youths in through giving Torah Shurim, and you know, it wasn't working. So they started this amazing youth group, and it was actual summer camps, so very similar to where we are today. And through informal education, they had great, great ways in being able to get these kids to be firm. And one of the things would be on Shabbos. On Shabbos, they would have semiros, similar to, I believe, the camp that you go to, even in the dome, right? You guys don't, you're lucky, you eat by yourselves. Tonight I'll join you at Mirtz Hashem, not because your fast is over earlier, just because I like you. And I'm an invited guest. I've just never been invited. And so we sing Zmiros together. So what happened? From what I think, the way that the Tshuva goes, not I think, but what happened basically is that there was some sort of singing Zmiros type of gathering where the people of France, some of them were Haredim, joined, and they were like, whoa, what is going on here? And I don't know, we could just think about how this must have gone, at least in our days, how would it have gone. Oy vey, shiksa! You know, like the rocks are getting thrown or whatever, who knows? And they went to the Sri Deish and say, can you answer this? After all, it wasn't just something that the Sri Deish, as I told you, often he got involved in, right? There's the famous one that actually Rav Soloveitchik said that the Sri Deish, every tshuva of his is golden. That's Rav Soloveitchik said, except for one, not this one. The one about stunning animals. There was a terrible thing that before the Holocaust, We think of the Holocaust as something that came in a vacuum, and never, it didn't come in a vacuum. There was a tremendous amount of anti-Semitism before, and let's remember, Hitler's party was appointed way before the Holocaust actually started. And one of the things they wanted to take away was shechita, something that unfortunately is not uncommon today in certain countries. In Switzerland, for example, I remember actually going on a business trip to Switzerland, and we couldn't have any kosher meat. We had this person who owned a catering company who went to France, because you're allowed to bring in 2 kilo every single day. So she went with Baruch Hashem. She was a religious woman with 8 kids. So she would take all of her kids in a van, and they would bring in, you know, we are a lot of people. So she was able to get in, legally bring in meat. In any case, they said, shechit is okay as long as you stun the animal first, which is clearly, seemingly, is an issur. So Sri Diyesh had a tshuva, b'shas l'tchak, he allowed it. Everybody went crazy on this tshuva, but it was a very important tshuva for the time. In any case, so he wants to answer up, not only because he was the defender of this, but because his own rabbeim, he was heading the Hillelsheim Yeshiva, allowed it. I'm just going to read you a few passages, mainly because I would go through the whole tshuva with you, but as we'll see, it's not relevant to Shiria and Zimriya. So he says like this. First of all, he says, "Bivada yesh lam al misha yismach. Share al pi din Torah tzorch lahafrish anoshim minoshim kidei shelo yavo lekalas rosh." Can we go to Maseches Sukkah? The famous Gemara in Sukkah, "My tikkun tikkun gadol." I think we might, if I can find the sheet, we discuss mechitza. This is like this. It can't have a better example than this, right? So mechitza is something that is very important. So one could argue, what about the mechitzas that we have in camp? Hopefully, you daven in shuls where the mechitzas don't look anything like this. Okay, we have. Sometimes we try to put some, but it's not always where there's tablecloths on top of it or whatever. Is that a good mechitza lahalacha? The mechitza in the main shul is all made out of lattice. Is that good? So the Gemara talks about a tikkun gadol that they did because initially what did they have in the Beis HaMikdash? They had Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and this sounds a little strange, but the first year all the women were in the middle and the men were on the outside. And they found that men and women were talking. So they put the women on the outside. They found the men were talking. And then they created a mechitza. And it was called a tikkun gadol. And we have to, in different generations, say, how do we make sure that the sexes are not mixed together? Okay? It's true. The Haredim have taken this to the extreme. And I give them a lot of credit in their own way. I don't ascribe to this. But the fact that they don't allow, at least in Eretz Yisrael, they don't allow smartphones and texting is also and all these things. There's what to be said about the goodness of that idea, even though it's not the halacha, and separate seating at weddings, not the halacha, but there's something to be said for that. Okay? So he says that we have to keep to the laws of Snius, and we have to do that. And he points out also Gemara and Sukkah that points out, that men and women might be together at Hesped because there are certain times, which we'll get to a little bit later, that Yetzar is not Sholipo. And then he says like this. There's no difference, for example, between married women, not married women. This is already in the first Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah in Ayin Hay, Siman Ayin Hay about Kriya Shema discusses. This halacha applies. There's no heterim, pnuya, lo pnuya. It doesn't matter today. Goyim, not goyim. All types of singing would be asur. And he says, Mikol Mako, this new group called Yeshurin, Shal Pi Haderech, Shaitah Lahem Gedolei Ashkenaz, Hayu Tzadikim. And you're a Shemayim, you think they didn't know what they were doing? So he says, they understood very, very well. And you're the people that don't understand. This isn't just something we're talking about. They did it. Famous letter, the Lubavitcher Rebbe writes to the Satmar Rebbe. Satmar Rebbe is upset that he started the mitzvah tanks in New York. He says, what's the point? You're getting people who aren't religious to make brachas. They don't even believe in God. And he says this similar line. And he says, yeah, except betachos, I could give you names of people who became religious because they put tefillin on once. It works. And he's saying, this works, what they're doing. It's making people from. He gives the example, of Rav Hildersheimer, who started to teach Tanakh to girls. Why? How is he allowed to do that? So he says, Eis l'asol shetem hetfir Torah secha. Just like we're allowed to write Torah Baal Peh down. You're not supposed to write it, right? We are allowed to write it. Why? Because we're not going to remember it. We have an Eis l'asol shel Hashem. The same thing. They recognized the girls were not learning anything. The Beis Yaakov movement changed, right? There was illiteracy. Women didn't know how to daven. It changed everything. And he says, who are you? You're a bunch of charedim. You don't even know what's going on. Right? Just our first shir that we just gave, right? Right? As long as they're like me. He says, but what about the people that aren't like you? What are you doing? Don't sit for an hour and a half and complain to me in the kollel that, oh, this camp is hard. What are you doing to change things? That's what he writes. And he goes on and talking about this. He says, you don't get it. I just wanted to point out a funny line he writes. Aval, Einam Yoshev al Salsol Ke'echa. It's not like they're standing at this performance together. Hayusham Shire Kodesh, Psuke Tanach. He goes, and even in their Machane Kayetz, in their camp, Benachma Yachorif, Labanim, Batsim Yuchadas, they're separate campuses, and they never meet each other, not even in family time. They learn Torah, they have Shir separately. And they said, well, let's get to the tachlis of this. Let's get to the tachlis of what I'm trying to say. So he says, first of all, one heter is called Mishum Detrei Kolei Mishtame. He says, Agoin Hatzadik, Rav Hildesheimer, V'Agoin Rav Hirsch. They instituted this idea, the Gemara in, I heard you're going to be learning this Gemara, by Shofar and by Megillah, or Shoshana and Megillah. Talk about, if you hear two shofars at the same time, you're not yoytze. If you hear the Megillah, right, there's a fight in shul. What do you mean you're laying the Megillah? I lay the Megillah. No way. And they both start the Megillah. You're not yoytze. So maybe we could say that two voices cancel each other out. That's one possible heter, and therefore the girls are singing together. To this, I will point out, as Rabbi Neuberger said, the Sheilas HaTshuvos Har Tzvi, relatively new edition of the Har Tzvi and Eben Ezer, he actually says that the more the merrier for Averas. He says, if I go to Zimriah and instead of one girl singing, there are, I don't know, whatever, how many girls are on campus, 600 girls singing, I get 600 Averas. It's worse, not better. So Rabbi Neuberger clearly said to me, he doesn't ascribe to that. There is something to be said for a certain amount of women that are singing together for this heter. That's not, he doesn't think the Sri Deish. Yeah, I just wanted to point out importantly. Rabbi Neuberger felt, and I don't have to agree with him because he doesn't need my haskama, but this was a heter that was for Kiruv because they were singing Zmiras Hashem and it was getting them close. He said, in the case of a camp, you can't tell me this is being done because of Kiruv. And more importantly, and almost backwards, is that when they sang these beautiful songs that are all in Hebrew, they weren't thinking about the Ribbono Shel Olam and the godless of the... I don't even know what the songs were this year, Baruch Hashem. But they weren't thinking about that. So new, what's the heter? The reason I say it's backwards is that, let's say they were. Let's say they were thinking about the Ribbono Shel Olam. If they were thinking about Hashem, and they were singing and you see the Heslavos, so maybe you could say that's Kiruv. But that's not really what's happening in camp. So yes, there is a heter potentially for saying, so what's the number? So the famous Rabbi Neuberger number, which was my first question to him, 16. So he said to me, to be honest with you, I want it to be more than 16. Back when the camp was founded, I wanted to be in the high 20s. What's the point there? There's no magical number here. He says, just when I grouped up a bunch of boys and they started singing, I said, I can't recognize any of the voices. 16 just came from the fact that there are 8 musical notes, as I'm sure you know already. And he says, okay, so there are 8 different musical notes. It doesn't matter if they're all going to sing those musical notes. Times 2. So each of them now are not recognized. They're canceled out by the other person with the same note, the other person. So he said, that's where the 16 heter came from. But 100% Rabbi Neuberger said, this is a B'di Yavid situation. You have a camp, you need a heter because they want to do this. This is what camps do. This is, I don't know, maybe the competition against other camps and everybody does it. But that's not in itself saying that a person should belong there. Again, this would be a very good halacha l'maisa for you guys. It was halacha l'maisa for me, which was, coming up Thursday night, I'm going to be potentially, I can go to this. I like Jewish music. I miss Mordechai Shapira, Morty Schaff. I missed him, hashtag. So maybe I should, So the answer is that it's b'di'evit. If you have to be there, I don't know what your policy was. I know that Rabbi Katz told all the uppers, you have to be, you have to show, no, because of the live feed. You have to show there's a lot of people here. But I would say, if you were to ask me, it's not a place that you should be at. Let's just do a few more of the Heterim that the Tzri De'esh brings. So he says, oh, the ulai mitam zeh, kosru ha-poskim la'asar rak kol zemer, af shegamara namar kol stam, mishum shezemer goyim lihir taiva. But b'tzmiras kodesh, ma'ayre regesh kodesh, there's no hira veira. We quoted before that when it came to the hesped, right? The Gemara is talking about the hesped of Mashiach. Men and women, how can that be? Someone in Taina, that's why it says in the Shira that Dvor, they went to the side and they started to play instruments, it says, right? How come by the men it doesn't say by Az Yosher that we paid lapidot and all those different things? You know why? Because the instruments drown out, you couldn't hear the women. They went to another side and there was no kolisha because you couldn't really hear them. Very interesting. But there is a concept that when a person is doing a certain type of singing, the famous Mishnayos that many people don't do, but when you're in Beis Avil, everybody does the Mishnayos about they used to do, the women would do it. They would have these chants that they would do to get people, right, into the Levaya. Into meaning, they would cry, right, it was an important thing to cry at a Levaya. How are the women allowed to do the chants? Because you're at a Levaya. You're not thinking about how amazing that woman's voice is. So maybe there's a heter as well for that. Again, one would argue, I think this is along the lines of Rabbi Neuberger was saying as well, is that that's also not a great heter because boys and girls are looking at each other. Nobody's really thinking about Shirei Kodesh. So that in itself would not be a heter. Furthermore, says the Tzri De'esh, that there could be other potential heterim. I'll just end off with the way he ends off. And he says, we just said, because he's not in it, he's thinking about these beautiful things. Okay. And Shakol Sha'eno Oisa Derechiva, says the Rama, wouldn't be Aser. And therefore, he thinks it's totally mutter for Zmiros Shabbos to be sang. And this is true. This heter is quoted, for example, Rabbi Teitz, and actually the first Rav of Elizabeth. I think this is the way I heard the story. Was the great Rosh Yeshiva in YU, or Perel. So he I think was the first rabbi. If I hear this, traveling for at least 6 to 7 hours, you have a lot of time to spend on YU Torah. So I heard different rabbeim did different shirams. I heard the following story. So he was the first rav, and he invited a very notable great rav. The person said that he said who the rav was, and then at the end of the story, he's like, "Wait, I'm not sure if this is who it was." So he didn't want to. But it was a famous rav from Europe. He came and stayed at his house, and he said that my daughter sings Miros together with us. If you have a problem with it, maybe I'll find another house for you to eat at. He goes, no, I'll sit here, it's okay. And I think we might notice, if you ever notice, for example, in the chief rabbis of Israel, when they have to go to some of these performances, like Yom HaZikaron, or even Yom HaTzmaut, and a woman gets up, because the dafka, the Medina, wants to have a woman get up and sing, so they'll just bow their heads and not concentrate and not look at all. Ravad Yosef's son, I noticed, always takes out a sefer and starts reading the sefer. So he's really not Mayim, doesn't should know that if you ever have this situation, this is a way to get out of it, right? And many poskim say this. If it's background music and stuff, you don't violate that. Most of the poskim say, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that a woman playing an instrument, you have sometimes at weddings, where all of a sudden there's a great, great violinist, and she's a woman, that doesn't violate it. Of course, the Min Chas Yitzchak said, if your wife is a Nida, and she plays an instrument, he thinks that you should be Choshesh for this. Shlomo Zalman Arbach was asked a question about a bus driver. Part of his job, right? Imagine he gets on the van now, he's going to a Walmart, and the girls are start singing. What's he supposed to do? So he's supposed to drive off the road and, No. So he says he's allowed to, it's part of his work. It's okay, you shouldn't concentrate on what they're singing. It'd be better if these girls are smart and somebody says something for them, better not to sing, but that wouldn't be us, sir. Again, the Shevet HaLevi, Rav Nissen Karelitz, say even a multitude of women singing is not considered to be mutter. Shevet HaLevi says men and women singing together is also going to be aser. The question that's asked nowadays is the question about the radio, about non-live voices. And that's what Rabbi Berman wrote when it came to the microphone, that maybe the microphone itself is not considered to be the actual voice of a person. And that would be a notable heter. The problem is, and Rabbi Neuger pointed out to me, that nowadays, the way that microphones are so perfect, that the whole concept of a good microphone is to perfect the voice, that it sounds exactly like the person. So even though halachically, maybe when it comes to the laws of hearing Megillah, it's not the greatest thing, and maybe it's not the greatest thing to hear the Baal Tefillah through the microphone, right? Although there's a heterim, it's still considered to be the person's voice for matters of kolisha. However, if it's the 16 girls and it's together, that okay. So we got a little bit better. I just wanted to point out when it comes to the radio slash. You know, XM radio, series, whatever you're listening to, or an actual, you know, you're right? So what would there be? Rav Avad Yosef famously has his tshuva. It's famously known that Rav Avad Yosef, I don't know if it was only Fridays, but they say Fridays, to get him into the mood for Shabbos, he would listen to this famous Egyptian singer, who was a woman. And either the story goes, for many years he listened to it, some say, and then once somebody stupidly brought him a picture of her, and said, you know, she's been dead for many years, but, you know, this is the woman. He says, oh, now I can't listen to her anymore, because now he saw a picture of her. So the question, whether or not she's living or not, matters. So that would be based on, as Rabbi Neuberger pointed out to me, what you hold l'shitasai. Is it that it sparks hihurim? And not necessarily hihurim, I'm listening to a Madonna song, Britney Spears song, and now I think about Britney Spears, and that's going to lead to God knows what as far as bad thoughts. Or even if I don't know who Britney Spears is, the fact that I hear a woman's voice, I might think about other women. And maybe that's the yesod of the problem. And therefore, if she's dead, doesn't matter if she's dead, I'm interested in her voice. Rav Avad Yosef clearly did not feel this way 100%. And he said, She'ein yetzar sholeit elu emisha eino ro'ev. My eyes only work on the yetzar if I could see the person. And therefore, he didn't think it was an issue if he never saw the person before. Obviously, with MTV and VH1, and now you can see the woman, even though technically she's not really singing the song, even when she does the music video, that's not her. So he felt that that would be an isser. And many, many agree that this would be an isser today. However, there are poiskim who say that maybe a person... So the Tzitz Eliezer famously also says in Chelek Dalet, he writes... He says that when it comes out of a radio, that's even more of a heter, because it's a microphone with a fake call. It's a waves of sound. And maybe that would be further, could be a heter. This is Rabbi Bleich. Rabbi J. Bleich writes in his essay, so he says the same thing. He says, as long as you don't see the woman and it's not live, that would be something that potentially would be mutter. As I said, that Tzitz Eliezer brings this galei hakol, the sound waves, is not really kolisha, it's not really her voice. Again, but people are machmir when it comes to the voice itself, and that would be. Again, I don't want to belabor you, but I just thought that this was an interesting point to bring when it comes to the radio, because that could be a further heter with the microphone. Although, the feeling is that the microphone itself doesn't help. So again, if you have a tziruf of a microphone, and you have the 16 people, Rabbi Neuberger didn't say this, I'm just saying it. Maybe, and you're not looking at them while they're singing, and therefore you don't recognize who it is. So maybe that tziruf itself, again, in all b'shas l'chak situations, would be a much different case and would be mutter. Again, Yosef Midvarenu, it appears that whatever this place is being soimechan, based on Rabbi Neuberger's psak, and almost solely of that of his psak, is seemingly a more of a b'shas l'chak situation, which is not the greatest heter in the world. So if you were to tell me what's the mesorah of the heter of Kolisha, it's a heter only because of, for whatever reason, it needs to happen. But again, it doesn't mean that it's the greatest thing and something that we should look at as something that l'chachila I should want to be involved in. Shkoyach.